crash too. They were not, you had been submitted for tonight's answer period. This I can shave is a duty provided in class. From has either been a questions, as pointed, as clear, as embarrassing as you wish. The present meditation is on the kingdom of Christ, the reign of Christ. This meditation, by all odds, the center of the Catholic apostolate. It presupposes the whole panorama of divine revelation. Going back to the ancient patriarchs and culminating in the coming of Jesus Christ. Let the shrine plain. You all made for heaven. Dear God, you're not made for this world. Well, I survived till the 18th of next month. I'll be 86 years old. You're not meant for this world. You're meant for the world to come. And the key is, you must labor, you must struggle, you must work. You got this into heaven with us. Otherwise, hear it. You're not yet to heaven ourselves. The purpose of this meditation is to pass from the simple realization of our sinfulness and the supernatural ambition, as I call it, of joining with Christ in the world to come. None of us was made for this world. Everyone here will die. Then what? Then what? Once more, then what? When our souls leave our bodies, where will the souls go? There are basically three questions I would like to ask in this meditation, which may take the full hour. What is the need for human leadership? What is the grave need for human leadership? Your all kinds of leaders in our nation today, sadly, most of them are misleaders. Do not make the retreat just for yourselves. You want to lead others to heaven with you. Secondly, what do you mean by the call of Christ the King? Our primary vocation is to respond to the call of Christ our King. And finally, what must we do to recognize Jesus Christ as the eternal Lord of all things? Each of these three areas could have a full meditation. Over the rest of the spiritual exercises, teenage recommendations, prayerful meeting. We have come to the invitation of Christ in the room.
Yes.
Yes.
Read it. Read from the invitation of Christ. Don't have a copy at home? Get one. And read from the New Testament. Thirdly, read from the lives of the saints. Over the years, I don't know how many times I've recommended to the retreatants to have a copy of either the lives of many saints and either the life of a saint. We need inspiration. We need to be inspired to follow the example of those who have been canonized mainly for this reason. The church canonizes certain men and women. She might be an inspiration to us. Dear God, how we need inspiration. Good, sound, Catholic inspiration today. We have so many fakes. Shall I see so many coups? In high places, ostensibly leaders, so much for the introduction. Our first subject is the power and need for human leadership. Living in the modern world, with the great stress on democracy and individualism, as a result, how liable we are to underestimate, underrate the need for each one of you who is a sinner. Your leader is. Dear God, how we need leaders. Authentic, honest to God leaders in today's society. But this very fact only proves the law that the human race needs leaders in society, because we have so many who are supposed to be leaders. There I say it. Our own President of the United States, do I further say it, Bishop. Over 30 years of working with the Holy See, have I ever come to know members of the hierarchy? In a closed room, without windows, nobody else, the Bishop and I. My instruction from Rome would tell the Bishop, Your Excellency, you are misleading your people. You are giving them the inspiration they need. Oh, what cowards. Dare I say it? What cowards bishops can be. We need bishops who are, I mean at least some of the disciples, who are bishops waiting and eagerly martyrs. And to you, fathers of families, you live in a feminized society. You know what I mean, merely.
And dear God,
I have paid dearly. Finally, Spain, finally after, I repeat, centuries of control by the Moors. There is one principle of Islam which I've taught over the years. Islam denies that Jesus Christ was God. That we are, shall I say it, we're supposed to believe. The man called Jesus, the image on the cross, is the image of a God, better of the God, who became man. In God's providence, Ignatius was first wounded in battle. The last stronghold of Islam in Spain. Finally, Spain was conquered for the Catholic faith. Pray for the people of Spain to recover their strong faith after centuries of conflict with Islam. As a soldier, in his was wounded in battle and therefore enforced for months of convalescence. Thank God. His month of convalescence led to his conversion. His conversion being a tepid, ordinary Catholic to becoming a saint. And that, in one sentence, is the purpose of this retreat. How we need Catholic men in America and the courage of martyrs to speak up, to act up in defense of the Catholic faith, being torn to shreds in our country. I think I've told you this before. The one archdiocese in Detroit, by no means the largest in the nation, in 1 year closed 54 Catholic parish churches. Millions of once believing Catholics, I don't see, don't go to church anymore, giving up their faith. Oh, what a war we should fight. A war for the faith. And be happy to risk our lives in professing the Catholic faith. Is not just another religion. All of this is just beginning to be kept in mind in this meditation. And you, my St. Ignatius, its focus is, first of all, on an earthly monarch. He calls his people to follow him, his desire, I quote, of the whole world. already the world to Christ. He invites the subjects, those who are faithful Catholic and obedient to him, to join him in his noble enterprise. Anyone who refuses to accept the invitation is blamed by the whole world as an ignoble coward. I see the men, dare I say it, what cowards we men have become. I mean that. The lesson for us in our day is stark in its simplicity. How this world needs, desperately needs, leaders in civil society. First, you have a strong faith in God, a deep sense of mission for the welfare of their citizens, dynamic, burning zeal to overcome the destroyers of human life and the family. Do you know that our Supreme Court has officially defended abortion? Do you know that? Murder is now a law of our once, shall I call it, once Christian United States. I will repeat what I've said before. What cowards we Catholic men can be. The courage it takes in authentic, honest to God Catholic today, the courage is nothing less than the courage of a martyr. We've been so brainwashed, so shaped in our thinking by the culture in which we live. Over the years, I've been a priest for 52 years. I think the count of my hands. Through my hands, the number of times, my 50 years, I have read the newspapers. Believe me, I'm no fool. You must have courage not to follow the crowd. The current day society is pagan. The lesson for us in our day, our repeated talk in its simplicity. The world desperately needs leaders. I repeat, in civil society. Of course, you have a strong faith in God, a deep sense of mission for the welfare of their citizens, a dynamic zeal to overcome the destroyers of human life. Shall I ask a question? I'm going to ask you an answer, any of you. Just the question. How many of you have done anything to save one human life in today's society? Millions. Hear it? Millions. Once more, millions of children unborn and born are put to death in the United States. What will I say? What word shall I use? Have my notes in front of me. Only God can give you the grace. The grace to come in on me as a dynamic zeal, overcome the destroyers of human life and the family. The average size of the family in our United States is less than 2 children per family. All we need, dear Lord, how desperately we need Catholics who are courage, who are courageous, and who have the corresponding personality that attracts devout followers. May we all be. After I finish this conference and we close this retreat, please smile and thank me. Nothing will happen in your lives. In God's name I plead with him. Dear Lord, change. Change the lives of the men that I'm speaking to. Give them zeal, a holy anger against the demonic powers that have come to control our nation. But we must be men of prayer. I'll keep coming back to this in every conference we give. What we need cannot be acquired by reading books. Or in this case, pious and listening to a sermon. It only comes from God through his grace, obtainable only through prayer. Dear God, we should pray, give me the courage, the fortitude to face the godless world in which I'm living whenever I can to overcome the demonic evil going on in our nation. Now, a long quotation from St. Ignatius. I am sure, says Ignatius, that with the perfect grace and gentleness which His Divine Majesty has bestowed on Your Highness for His meager service and praise, He's writing to the King of Portugal, Your Highness will take time to recognize His grace, be able to distinguish what is good from what is bad, your own advantage. You will understand the more we desire to succeed apart from offense on the part of our neighbor, clothing ourselves with the living of Christ, woven out of insult. The garment of Christ woven out of insult. Out of false witness. Every other kind of injustice. The more we should advance in spirit and earn those spiritual riches with which in our living spiritual lives our souls are sure to be adored. In Israel, this letter to the King of Portugal, John III, exact date, March 15th, 1545. How we need leaders, dear God, how we need healthy leaders in today's society. And I trust, hope, and I pray I'm talking to the right people. Hear it. None of us will get to heaven alone. Either we labor and exert ourselves, expend ourselves to share our strong faith and zeal with others, or we shall not reach heaven ourselves. We go on. Now the call of Christ the King. There are three parts to the Ascetic meditation and spiritual exercises. Each level is progressively higher in his willingness to respond to Christ's call. On the first level, Christ addresses his potential followers by saying, "It is my will to conquer the whole world in all my enemies, and thus enter the glory of my Father." Therefore, who wishes to follow, join me and follow me in this enterprise must be willing to labor with me. And by following me and suffering, may follow me in glory. Let me be brutally honest to all of you. You're all mortal human beings. You live here only a short time. No doubt. Then what? Either we have spent ourselves, now I mean spend ourselves, in laboring for the salvation of others, or I mean every syllable of this sentence, we shall not reach heaven ourselves. I've spoken with too many fathers who tell me about their children. Growing up, educated, and estranged from God. What we should not do, everything in our power, first of all, to make sure that those who are members of our own families will reach heaven. I mean, over the years, I've shared this story with you. My mother, year after my father died, year after I was born, never remarried. Small woman, less than 5 foot tall. and no kind. Brother of my father, estranged from his faith, living with a woman in sin. Every time Mother would visit him, she reminded him of what he was doing. On one Sunday, she went to visit him, and by then in the Society of Jesus, she told me, "Uncle, pick me up, you small woman." Literally, threw me out of the house and banged the door behind her. Or never again set foot inside this house. Mother Dew, next Sunday, she came back. Rang the doorbell. Well, couldn't believe his eyes. Probably threw out of the house a week before. He opened the door. Mother pleaded with him. George, make your peace with God. You want to throw out again? All right. Well, they called me up. I was in the Jesuits by then, miles away. Find a priest, bring it at 5 o'clock in the morning. Brother's home. Find a priest. 5 o'clock in the morning. Unlock the church. Bring my uncle's confession. And a few weeks later, my uncle, living in sin for years, was killed in an automobile accident. Answer me this sentence. Those who want to follow Jesus Christ must be ready to labor and suffer as Jesus did for the same soul. That's the first level. On the second level, the prospective followers of Christ are told to think through his invitation. If they are of sound judgment, their reason enlightened by faith, he'll tell them. It's a wise opportunity. We not only give ourselves to this cause, but give ourselves entirely. What am I saying? My plea with God is to invite you out of the fruit of this retreat, give yourselves entirely to Jesus Christ. Lord, ask him during the retreat, what should I be doing that I'm not doing? What should I give up that I'm still holding on to? are safe and sane. What God wants of each one of us is more than we naturally could want to do. Finally, on the third level, among those who want you to follow Jesus in his mission of conquering the world as Heavenly Father, are some wish to go even further. They want to give still greater proof of their love. They want to distinguish themselves. Never concerned the service of the eternal King and the Lord of all. Would not be here unless I believe that God wanted me to inspire you with more than ordinary zeal. What are we to do? We are not to offer ourselves entirely for the work, not contrary to our sensuality. Our common worldly love of ourselves, God in me, what you're saying. Dear Lord, what more do you want of me than I'm doing? I see this with complete security. None of us is doing all we can out of love for God. We are still the first full day of the retreat. What is the foundation of everything else that follows? As you shall see in the meditation that we shall have, nothing less than going the whole way. Well, I say it, what cheats we can be with God. We are to call on God and help us. Lord, help me give myself entirely to you. Become more and more like you. You are love for me, chose the cross. I have been a priest for more than half a century, without reason. I've met too many people. I know too many nominal Catholics. Or living a double life. Living the world, serving the world, and claim the all to loving Jesus Christ. All this needs to be said. We love Christ only as dearly, only as firmly as here, as we love the cross. I'm not indulging in rhetoric. Know what I'm talking about. The important matter of saving nations. They long to work for you. If God gives you a harvest of blood, it is a sign of the great holiness to which He wants you to attain. One thing I'm going to say, according to the nations, ask God to send you many sufferings, a flame of divine love that never rises higher than when fed with the wind of the cross, which the infinite charity of the Savior uses to finish his sacrifice. All the pleasure of this world are nothing, zero, nothing, compared with the sweetness of the gold and vinegar offered to Jesus Christ on the cross. I would not dare use these words. I'll ask you God's grace. Lord, bless me with a call. He must love. Love what is hard. What is painful. The only condition is that Christ wants it and wants us to embrace the cross. One more level to our comment, the conversation, or meditation. The eternal Lord of all things, the highest level of generosity, giving ourselves to follow Christ, the King, is expressed in the prayer. Eternal Lord of all things. This prayer is at once an epitome of selfless love of God. He came in our love for us and a compendium of Christian spirituality. I believe, I sincerely believe, God wants all of us. Look deeply in our consciences, what I can do to help save souls. Maybe what I've said more than once, none of us will get to heaven alone. We must be eager, zealous, to save the souls of others. Otherwise, we risk our own salvation. It seems best to reflect on this prayer on the several parts in which we largely divide. Salutation. Eternal Lord of all things, in the presence of thy infinite goodness, glorious Mother, all the saints of thy heavenly court, salutation. The offering. In the offering of myself which you make with thy favor and help. Now the choice. I protest. It is my earnest desire and deliberate choice. What is only for your greater glory and praise. To do what? Imitate thee in very all wrongs, all abuse. All poverty, both actual and spiritual, to thy most holy majesty, deign to choose and admit me such a state and way of life. Be a good, honest to God, holy Catholic, raise America, you must live, I mean it, but live the life of a martyr. What I'm saying, I address myself to Jesus Christ, I acknowledge him as the Lord of the universe. And I further solemnize my prayer by making it in the presence of his mother, all the saints. I offer myself twice over this. As I am constantly making the oblation myself whom I am sacrificing. Oh, dear God, dear Lord, this is the essence, the heart of a retreat. I sacrifice myself to God. And my self-giving being done from interior conviction after careful deliberation. I presume by giving myself entirely to God is not just for God's glory, I do it for his greater glory, that you'll be better known or loved by the large number of people, because I, each one of you, have the courage to speak up, to act up, as a believing Catholic, raise a America. As I said before, in 1 year, the Archdiocese of Detroit closed 54 Catholic churches. The obvious reason, so many had no longer the faith in the Mass. I was speaking in Chicago. I know the Cardinal of Chicago very, very well. We spent hours in conversation. Dear God, what a flood of opportunity there are. The Archdiocese of Chicago, for zealous, strong, believing Catholics, restore so much of the faith that has been abandoned this once believing city. But notice, only one danger in using these words. You will listen, you will take an order to, and that's it. To live a zealous Catholic life with emphasis on the word zealous, to protect and defend the faith of believing Catholics, to bring those who have been Catholics back to the faith, will take courage. I know what I'm saying. You start acting by the believing Catholic that our nation needs. And first people shrug their shoulders and look at each other. What's he trying to do? And then I speak from experience. There is no limit to the hatred of the world for strong, zealous Catholics in our nation today. Let me be as brutally clear as I can. All of us, every one of us, will die. Then what? To be sure of reaching heaven, we must exert ourselves. We must strive, we must struggle to bring as many as we can back to the faith which so many have given up. Whatever my future for eternity may be, I hereby make this promise, either choose to live where my state of life is, not only for myself, but for the salvation and sanctification of others. Lord, I will ask the Lord to take me out of this life. Now I close with the quotation from St. Ignatius. Jesus Christ has given us himself, giving himself as a brother in our flesh, as the price of our salvation on the cross, and the food and the passion of our pilgrimage in all ages. Our poor soldier is he. Not been inspired by Jesus Christ, following examples, following Jesus the full way, into dying out of love for him, to bring souls, nation, and millions, bound their Catholic faith, here it is. No Catholic who gives up his faith can reach heaven. I repeat it. No Catholic who gives up his faith can reach heaven. Period. Dear Lord, we beg you, give us the courage we need. Do all we can to cooperate with you in saving a sinful world from the eternal damnation which so many are falling because of their sins. But, dear Jesus, it will take courage, and not even by ourselves. Dear Lord, give me the strength in apostate days, paganize America, because America needs martyrs. And our Lord is calling each one of us. He's gone, now martyrs' death. But certainly, to live a martyr's life. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.